going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome back to the second guest show. Mike Dottiglia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. In our post-NFL draft show, we will be back here at the Silver Slipper starting sometime in August once the preseason starts. And man, we've been doing it here at the Slipper since I think it's 2008, I think was the first year we started here. Dave Hilbert, not Mr. Yeah. John Ferrucci has left. He's retired now, and he was just a big part of the scene here at the Silver Slipper.
So they have some female German executive that came here.
And she had worked here for a number of years before leaving for a little while, now back
it's
running.
It's a shame I can't remember her name.
The Silver Slipper. Let's go to our Oakland Hard Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to David in Gulf Shores. David, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Hey, Mike and Bobby. So glad to hear Bobby back. We missed you. I'll tell you the truth. Awesome. Hey, Mike, let me throw something at you that you always talk about. The NFL is a business. Don't you think the Saints woefully struck out on getting anybody that's going to help sell tickets? Cam Scatabo was an automatic. If they would have picked Cam Scatabo, I think that would have been enough excitement for the fan base out here. The biggest loser in this whole draft for the Saints is the sales staff. They're going to have a tough mountain to climb this year. They're not going to have 30,000 people on the season ticket list this year. I promise you, they're going to be calling people.
The thing is, what you're saying is a great point, but it's now the future. How many fannies show up in the seats? Because they've sold the tickets, but there's no more waiting list. You have to win. Consistently win, like the Drew Brees, Sean Payton era, to have a waiting list. So, yeah, in that regard, you got to get people excited. They want to be entertained. So, if you get off to a slow start, they're going to be, I'm doing something else. I'm not going to the damn game. You get off to a fast start, then people want to be in that number. And I want you to hold your point because I want to bring this up because this segue goes into what I wanted to say, and I want you to say what you're going to say after this. But if you look at it, and this is a sample size that's going back a quarter of a century plus. Because you look at teams, that being the New Orleans Saints, and how you transition from one coaching staff to the other. How many players are new? How many players you bringing back? Are we truly rebuilding? You know, you always hear that term. I say this, Jeff Duncan did an outstanding article. I saved this thing. I think it might have been a couple of months ago or a month and a half. He said, "In you look at the transition to Kellen Moore era looks and feels more like the one that Dennis Allen oversaw in 2022. But I think what Jeff's saying then, and you look at it, is kind of like, oh, we just need to plug and play maybe a couple of players. But then you look at the draft, we drafted a number of players. So this is written before the draft, but it's still that splash and the expectations. So, like I said, the Kellen Moore era looks and feels more like one the Dennis Allen oversaw in 2022. Then the overhauls, Jim Haslett and Sean Payton orchestrated in 2000 and 2006, respectively. We all remember that debacle with Mike Ditka, and I love Mike Ditka. And now he's dealing with dementia and all that, and, boy, he's a big part of the Players Association and helping us with our pension and all that. A great player, great coach with the Bears, but not so much with the Saints. Mike, you know him.
Yep.
Now, you might recall that after the Saints, they basically flatlined to 3-13 record under Ditka in 1999. Haslett and then general manager Randy Mueller brought in 25 new players, including 11 starters the next year. And guess what the result was that next year? The Saints went 10-6 and they won the NFC West.
First playoff win.
Okay, so that's all I'm saying. And then you look at Sean Payton, post Katrina, Haslett. We go 3-13 2005. Now 2006, in 2006 with 10 new starters, 11 versus 10, 23 new players. The new look Saints again were 10-6 in their first ever trip to the NFC Championship game. The point I'm bringing this up, and I want you to comment on. The call is probably still on hold. I don't think we're there right now. You know, when you're talking to Mike going from Dennis Allen to Kellen Moore right now, I don't think we from Ditka to Haslett or Haslett now to Sean Payton.
I agree with you there.
Because right now, Mike, we won 5 games. I don't think we're going to go double that and win 10 games, even if Derek Carr comes back. I'm just being brutally honest. I mean, I think if we win 8 games, go 8-9, 3 more wins, we're trending in the right direction. I just don't see that's what you get the fans excited about. When that kind of transition, Mike, who that nation, everybody wants to be in that number. What happened from Ditka to Haslett, then Haslett to Sean Payton, then all of a sudden, it's kind of almost what we saw last year, even under Coach Allen. Well, what are we kind of joking a little bit? We were saying, like, I don't know. After the first 2 games under Dennis Allen, how we whipped Carolina's behind and crushed the Cowgirls. Well, we're going to average 40, 50 points a game. Then the Eagles came to town. Then McCoy gets hurt and all that. Just a little. But, Mike, that's why over the long haul, I'm trying to be optimistic about the upcoming season. Just by looking at that track record and how you could view it, and it's very similar when you have to look at the roster. How many new starters and how many new players are on the team? And right now where we're at, it's not that drastic as far as a turnover as it was back in 2000 and 2006.
I agree with you totally. Yeah. David, let me answer your question on Scottable. I don't know how many tickets he would have sold. He would have been a merchandising machine, though. Man, all the Scottable jerseys and that sort of thing. How many actual season tickets he would have sold? That, to me, I don't know how many of those he would have actually sold.
Yeah, but Mike, we were familiar with him because of the college football playoffs, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And we saw him sort of say, hey, put that team on my back. I got you. I'm going to roll with you. Dave, I'll let you finish it up.
Well, I just wanted to say, I think this team desperately needs a shot of adrenaline. The fans are so – I can't even just describe what the fans are like. This is a small market. We only have so many dollars. You guys know this. It's tough for these fans. I mean, it's not inexpensive to go to a Saints game. I have 6 tickets. I drive all the way in from Alabama and bring my kids and everything. We enjoy it. But, man, it's tough to get excited when you're sitting here. I would have took Scott, but I'm just telling you, he was tailor-made for the Saints. Did you see his reaction when he got drafted? I mean, how it wouldn't have been a stretch for them to grab him.
That would have been
a dynamite move.
Well, you talk about getting fans excited, and it's all about entertainment and getting fannies in the seat. I'm going to bring this up again. I don't care if we drafted Tyler Shuck. If Derek Carr's shoulder's jacked up and they're not playing him, Aaron Rodgers, who he signed with? He ain't signed with nobody yet. Oh, he's going to the Steelers? I don't know. All I know, you want the Dome to be sold out? You bring in Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I think Kellen Moore is big enough, even though Aaron Rodgers is older than him. I mean, I'm talking about 1 year. I mean, and you develop Tyler Shuck and then all that. They might not want to do that because with Aaron. All I know is Aaron Rodgers' production. He threw for 4,000 yards and 28 touchdowns and 11 interceptions. That didn't happen by accident. So you're talking about a splash? Now tell me about this, fans. Y'all can tell me I'm crazy. Saints fans, oh, Bobby, we're not doing that. But the Who Dat Nation, if Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback, don't you want to always exploit your brand, get the most recognition? The Saints are a national team. All of a sudden, if Aaron Rodgers is a quarterback, instead of playing two or three primetime games, we're playing five. We're playing on Monday night, Sunday night, Thursday. You know why? Because whether good or bad, what is Aaron Rodgers going to do? What are the Saints are going to do? We all of a sudden, ESPN.
He's going to attract attention.
We on a national stage just because of Aaron Rodgers. And everybody's spending their hard-earned money. We want to be entertained. People want to see, is Aaron Rodgers, what is he going to do, the old man? Is he going to fall on his face, or is he going to kick ass? And then we want to watch that. I mean, all I know is, so I'm saying, whether we have Aaron Rodgers or not, or Derek Carr comes back with his shoulder, or we go on with the young quarterbacks, we still might be picking in the top 10 again next year. All I know is I want to be entertained.
I think a lot of fans feel the same way.
I know.
We want
yes.
to be entertained.
Yes, because isn't that what pro sports is? Entertainment value.
We'll be back. Thanks so much for the call, Dave. I'll see you out in Gulf Shores. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Back here on the Second Guest Show, Mike DeTillia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, at the Silver Slipper Casino, Beachside, right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. We're going to go back to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Former Saints linebacker won the Super Bowl here, Scott Shanley. Scott, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Oh, absolutely. Hope you guys are doing good.
Doing great. Scott, I'll ask you one right off the bat. I know being a Nebraska guy, you know, you ain't got no love lost for Oklahoma players, but I know you got to see Danny Stutzman already play. Your thoughts on Stutzman? Man, he's a big linebacker. He's over 6 foot three and a half, 235 pounds. Went in a Florida high school ranks, and when we had him on, man, he still got the chip on his shoulder about, man, none of those schools in Florida offered me anything. Miami of Florida, Florida State, University of Florida, and had a coach that knew him and got him a scholarship to University of Oklahoma. Your thoughts on that OU linebacker now, one of the newer members of the Saints?
And Scott, you know he's coming downhill. I know that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what, of all the draft picks, I know the most about Danny. I've watched Danny a ton. My son's a Boomer Sooner. He's at OU. And so I watched a ton of Oklahoma football. And you're right, Bobby. There's one thing Danny does. He plays downhill. He shoots gaps. He reads, diagnoses well. And I tell you what, he was their captain of their defense, a leader, the guy who – he was the extension of the coaching staff on the field, got everybody lined up. He did an outstanding job. And, you know, he did little things that constantly showed the leadership. He had NIL money, and he buying his teammates different gifts, things like that. He was well-respected in the locker room. And he plays with passion. He loves the game. When you watch Danny play, some guys are just built to be linebackers, and that's the way he was. My one concern when I was watching Danny Oklahoma is I thought, how's he going to run? Because the hardest thing to project guys from college to the NFL is, can they cover running backs? Can they cover tight ends? Can they be isolated in space? And Danny went and ran a great 40 time, and I think that alleviated a lot of concerns for people because he was highly, highly productive at OU. And I think that there was great value for the New Orleans Saints and getting depth. And hopefully Danny turns into a starter someday because he certainly was an outstanding player in college.
Shannon, when you look at, like, providing depth and then think he was going to be available, I think Mickey Loomis even said this, to stay on the defensive side of the ball, Quincy Riley, the cornerback from Louisville. Now, I mean, you might look at last year. We were like, oh, we're not worried about the cornerback position. We got Lattimore, Paulson Adebo. You got Alante Taylor. We drafted Kool-Aid. But now, all of a sudden, we got guys we're counting on. They don't have too many skins on the wall. When you think about Kool-Aid. Now, Alante Taylor, now he's the senior guy in that meeting room. But I look at Quincy Riley, boy, I talk like a bang for your buck or value. You know, coming from Middle Tennessee State, where he started out and went to Louisville, it seems like a lot of versatility there. What's your take on Quincy Riley? Because he's not the fastest corner in the class, but his instincts and his ball skills and all that, and I think you could put him in the nickel. I thought that was a great pick.
Scott, you know the crazy thing about that is there's football speed, track speed, and that Quincy was a junior Olympic sprint champion. He was a 100-200-meter sprint champ in South Carolina in high school. Guess what he didn't do well at the combine?
The 40, huh?
He didn't run well at the – now, being around track guys a lot in my life, you can bring them on the track, and sometimes, you know, it's just not one of those days that you run well. That's what got him – that to kind of drop in the draft, that he didn't run as well at the combine, but if you know the background, you know he is fast.
Yeah, he ran like a four five, four six instead of like low 4.4s or something.
Yeah, and you know, and I get it. Everybody wants to draft the guys that you think that speed equates to the football field, and there's a cutoff for it, certainly. I mean, if you're a linebacker running 4.9, you're not going to outspeed a guy playing 4.5 who can also diagnose. But a lot of that, you give me a 4.3 corner who has no instincts and can't diagnose things or doesn't know who they're matching up with the zone versus a 4.5.5 corner who knows exactly what he's doing. He looks at the splits of the receiver. He's like, oh, I know exactly what I'm getting. That guy will make more plays all day. So it's always hard to dissect a 40-yard dash, and we all want the fastest guys, but there's instincts, there's understanding of the game that can shave a tenth or two tenths off in a lot of cases. So I like the pick, and I like the pick because it's another position, like you said, Bobby, it's a position that you can never have too many guys who you can cover, especially with the way the league is now. Heck, it almost doesn't matter if you run a 4-3, 3-4, 5-2, 2-5. It's a nickel league. I mean, so you got to have five DBs. And you got to have three corners really on the field at all times who can cover. And the one thing I like about this matchup with Quincy is he played a lot of match zone at Louisville, and that's exactly what Brandon Staley does a lot. So I think it's a good fit as far as that goes. And it'll be interesting to see where they play him, like you said, as well as Alante, because I think Alante really excels in the slot. But can you afford to have two slot guys? Somebody's got to play outside, so it'll be interesting how they line those guys up.
You know, Scott, before we get to the higher picks, I thought Devin Neal, coming out of Kansas. I mean, I was reading, he may not be the first back off the board, but he could easily become one of the most productive to come out of this class, no matter where he lands. Now, I've seen that some third-round projections, and look how he comes to the Saints. And he might break out in the open and not take it to the house. But the highlights that I saw of him is how shifty he was. And he's running tough, but he can make that first guy miss. And then Deuce commented on this. You know what? If it's third and three, all of a sudden, and you don't feel like, God damn, we have to pass the ball. For sure, we got to pass it. And it's third and three, and he can get 3.5, 4 yards. First down, Saints, you're moving the chains. So just by him being nifty right there, Scott, I thought Devin Neal in helping out Kamara just in that regard, which we never could rely on Kendre Miller. But we need a 1-2 punch to help out Kamara.
One thing with him at Kansas, he saw a lot of team pitchers defensively. I mean, come on, you stack in the line of scrimmage against Kansas because you want to stop Devin Neal.
There's no question about it. And I agree with the assessment. You look at it, and, you know, going in the draft, I said, you know what, if Ashton Jeanty's at 9, I'm taking him. Because I felt it wasn't a slight against Kamara, but I felt like with the quarterback position, if Carr was coming back, this was before all the quarterback stuff, I felt like running back Ashton Jeanty would have been outstanding at 9 if that worked out that way. Now, we knew the Raiders were going to take him once they traded for Geno, but I think with Kamara going to year 9, you get another guy who can take some of the wear and tear off Alvin. Now you can allow Alvin to do some of the other things in the passing game and extend his career. So I saw those highlights of Devin, and yeah, you get a little concerned about 4 or 5 A's. You have long speed, but I'm right there with Deuce. That wiggle he showed and that change of direction and making people miss in the flat and getting those 5, 6, 7 extra yards, that dog will hunt when you have a two-headed monster. And he doesn't have to be your number one guy. Who knows if he'll ever be a number one guy, but if he can be that number two guy, that reliable guy who can get you the yardage when your starter's out, I think it was a great value pick. And I think what you saw with the Saints is the organization really isn't positioned anymore in rounds 4, 5, 6 to go and try to, you know, turn over a lot of rocks and take those project players. And they drafted guys like Stutzman and Devin Neal, very productive college football players, and you know what you're getting.
Scott, one of the things, Jeff Nowak and I were talking about this, because the Saints picked the safety in Jonas Sanker from Virginia.
Right.
Well, he's got something in common with you. He played 8-man football in high school. You don't see or read about that a lot, but he played 8-man football in high school. Your thoughts about that, because that's not something you read a lot about or hear a lot about in today's world.
Well, if he could out to be another Scott Chandler, then
I'll take that.
We got a winner.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's incredible. It's basically arena football without the arena, and it's fun, and it's a lot of people. You don't even need bleachers because everybody just stands around the rope and watches the game. Field's 80 yards long, it's narrower, probably 40 yards wide, but it's a fun game to play. And when you go to those small towns and grow up the way some of us guys do, it's what you do, and you don't know any different. Yeah, I think with Jonas, you watch his tape of Virginia, and I thought he closed fast, he tackled, he was physical. And when you look at, you know, obviously where Tyron is, just like Alvin in his where he is in his career, you got to start building depth behind these guys. I like the Reed signing in the offseason. I think he's really going to help at the safety position. So, yeah, you got to start getting some of these young guys and start getting them to learn under these veterans while the veterans are there. And that's how you kind of pass the torch. So hopefully Jonas turns out to be a great safety, and he's definitely going to be a great special teams player his first year.
You know, Scott, you know, first things first, I understood this pick, and even in free agency, going after Godshaw, getting him from the Patriots. You know, right here from Louisiana for Plaquemine and, LSU Tiger. But we have to get some meat up front. And what I mean by that, first things first, we got to stop the run. You know, one of the worst NFL defenses last year, we were giving up 141.5 yards, right under 5 yards a carry, which only we were one before last. Carolina was last. So Vernon Broughton, looking at that, and I think the familiarity with the coach there, a big body. I was reading where he keeps his pads low and wins leverage consistently. Uses his hands effectively to stay free from blockers in the run game. We just need someone to not get pushed into the linebackers. And, you know, that just explain to the fans how important those guys are from when you're a linebacker and you're not all of a sudden letting those guards and offensive linemen get to the second level where you can run sideline to sideline. And I was kind of shocked at this. He was like 6'5", 311, but he has a wingspan, basically almost 84-inch wingspan. I'm like, what?
That's separate, creating separation with those big offensive linemen. The offensive linemen just keep getting bigger. So now when you're pushing and shedding those guys, having that wingspan, that really helps. But I think I'm obligated for Vernon to be my favorite player because he's a Cy Ridge Ram in Houston, and my brother coached him in high school. So I know a lot about Vernon. Vernon came out as a defensive end, went to Texas. And the first thing I did, my brother texted me right away and said, we got a Cy Ridge Ram that's a New Orleans Saint. And I said, is he tough? And he goes, oh, he's tough. You're going to love him. So I'm putting a lot of stock into my brother's high school evaluation of Vernon since he coached him. But, yes, when you talk about going from a 4-3 to a 3-4, you need those body types. You need those big bodies up front. Those guys are going to get double-teamed. They're going to have to two-gap. They're going to have to keep the linebackers clean. So I definitely like what they did. And you talked about Gotcha. You need those big body types because the run defense just was not good enough. Hasn't been good enough the last couple of years. And really, they lost a handful of games just based on how bad their run defense was. So I love the big bodies they're getting on the defensive line.
Scott, one of the things, I hear about it a lot in going to the Louisiana Line Camp. Pete Jenkins runs it there, and we have like 12 different NFL coaches, is that it's the chess match now on defense. They got smaller because the game is more spread out today. Three wide receivers is the norm. The nickel is the norm today. And, you know, for most teams, 75-80% of the time it's nickel. So their deal is, you know what's going to happen? Teams are going to start running the football. And you saw it this year. What the Eagles were able to do. The Ravens have always been a heavy run team. But right. Then they bring in Derrick Henry. And it's like, hey, if you got a 220-pound linebacker and I got a 230-pound back, and with those big guys kind of leaning on it, I think that we're starting to trend a little bit that even though the pitch and catch game's always going to be there because of the way the rules are, we are going to see teams try to run the football more because now the body types, especially at linebacker, have changed dramatically throughout the years.
And if they light in the keister, then you run right at them.
Exactly. That's exactly right. That's the chess match you're playing back and forth. And, you know, a lot's been made out of this two-high safety, and the league has really played a lot more two-high safety than ever. And so it's a numbers count. As a quarterback, you look up, you see two guys deep, and you're like, well, we have one more than they have in the box. We're just going to run the ball. And that's what's happening is defenses are saying, we'll die a slow death. You're not patient enough to run the ball every single play, and eventually we'll make a play. We'll get you in a negative yardage situation. We'll force you into a passing situation. And so you're seeing that chess match back and forth, and why running backs are a little bit more of a premium, come back on those guys. But, you know, I've always said this before. I think the biggest difference from college football to the NFL, in my opinion, there's a lot. I mean, obviously the quarterbacks and the skill guys are outstanding. It's the defensive line. The defensive linemen from college football to the NFL, there's just a dramatic difference. And I'll tell you, playing behind those guys, they're freaks. And I think the league has found that you can rush four and get pressure on quarterbacks and keep two safeties deep because, in my opinion, the pass rushers are outpacing the pass blockers in the NFL. And I think that's why a lot of teams are patient enough to run two deep safeties because they have better pass rushers than offenses have pass blockers.
You know, Scott, looking at the number one overall pick, Kelvin Banks, he almost seems too good to be true. I mean, look at Steve Sarkisian and all the great players at Texas and where they get drafted. And he goes on to say, talking about even his program, what he's established at UT, I would tell any player coming into our program, if you want to be great, be like Kelvin Banks. His demeanor, his work ethic, his drive, his attention to detail, his ability to remain consistent in his approach on and off the field, and it shows in his play. I mean, he seems like he'd be like your favorite son. Man, I hope my son turns out like that. I mean, yeah, he just seems like unbelievable, like on and off the field. And, you know, a mean streak in the run game, can pass block. I mean, I think the Saints have found their tackle there for at least a decade.
Yeah, I think Sark's done a really good job at Texas. They not only recruit great players, but they have toughness. I think he's brought toughness to the program. It's no longer the soft Texas guys that you used to think of. And, you know, thinking back to last year, I remember watching a lot of Texas football, and Kelvin Banks stood out. And a lot of times offensive linemen don't stand out. But I remember seeing him thinking, wow, this guy is going to be a stud in the NFL. And I'm like a lot of fans. I was kind of torn at number nine, like, quit picking offensive linemen. You get sick of picking defensive linemen, offensive linemen every year. But when you look at it, tell me a better player at that spot who you feel like now you have two concrete guys at left tackle and right tackle. It's a hard thing to pass up on a guy like Kelvin Banks when he's sitting there at nine. Even if you trade back a couple spots, which I kind of wanted to do to grab more picks, there's no certainty he's going to be there anymore, because I think a lot of people had him really high on the boards. And, you solidify your left tackle and right tackle, that's more than probably 75% of the league can say. So you get those two positions taken care of, and now you can worry about the rest.
Scott, I think it was around this year, but I'll peel it back 1 year. You came on and talked about Caden Durham, the running back from Duncanville High School in Texas. I'm not sure which one of the linebackers, if it was Davin Keys or Xavier Atkins, but you really talked it up about Caden Durham and what type of impact you thought he could have for LSU in his first year. He sure in the hell did. Man, Caden Durham, and hurt. With the foot injury and the toe injury, really made a big impact at LSU.
Kid's a stud. I saw him in high school, and I tell you what, I saw Saquon Barkley-type skills in his game. And then he turns around in track season and runs a 10-3 consistently in the 100-meter, and I'm sitting there thinking, wow, this guy has the potential to be a first-round draft pick. And that was just watching that 18-year-old in high school. So what he did that fast in a big boys conference like that at a major blue blood program was so impressive. And I think if he can stay healthy, and that's always, that's always the thing, especially at the running back position, I think the sky's the limit for him. He's been a lot of fun to watch.
Now, Scott, before we let you run right quick, I don't know. That doesn't mean we're in the playoffs or, we're going back to the Super Bowl. But think about it, we only won five games. I think if we win three more, let's say we're 8-9, aren't we heading in the right direction if that would be the case?
Absolutely, I think so. And it's hard, it's hard, especially for guys like myself. We're sitting there and you're thinking, Super Bowl or bust type thing. You have to understand where you are as a program. I think you've got a new head coach, offensive-minded coach, completely different style. You changed your entire defense, but you brought in new body types. You drafted a quarterback that you think is going to be the future of your franchise. So I think while there's a lot to be concerned about, like it's almost a soft reset, I think there's a lot to be excited about because there is a lot of change, and which it needed some change, though. We saw the last couple of years, it just wasn't good enough. It wasn't trending in the right direction. So I think a lot of unknown, but I think there's also a lot of excitement because there's a lot of new blood in the building.
Scott, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always great stuff. Appreciate you coming on with us.
All right, Scott.
Yeah. Take care, guys.
All righty. Thank you. Scott Shanley, former Saints linebacker, and I know he wants Nebraska to start winning again, right?
Yeah, the Big Red. Listen, I don't know. We might talk about that later also. They'll disregard the spring game. But Nebraska would be one of those in the spring game. They'd have, 80,000 people go to their spring game?
They were packing it in the spring
game. Like at LSU, might have 15 or something like that, 20. But they'd have, 80. But I think they might disregard that. Or you need to play another team. That'd be intriguing.
I think that's where the spring game could really be interesting. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on the Second Guest Show, I want to thank Scott Shanley for jumping on with us. I'd like to tell you, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Abraham, Bob, this broke about a half an hour ago, that Shaquille O'Neal has agreed to become the men's basketball general manager of Sacramento State. It will be a voluntary role for Shaq. Now, his son, Shakir O'Neal, plays for Sacramento State under Mike Bibby. Now, Bob, you and I know his dad, Henry Bibby.
Yeah, he used to be an old jazz player.
Shaq and Bibby form a star duo as college GM and coach. And I said this earlier in the year, there are 8 billionaires, with a B now, that graduated from Sacramento State on the Forbes 500 list. Now, not all of them give to sports, but if you get a couple of them, you can see what Sacramento State is doing here, passing the collection and having a star like Shaq become the face of kind of the franchise away from the court.
Yeah, because the college game has changed, name, image, and likeness, and then you have players transfer to Sacramento State. Why would I transfer to Sacramento State? Usually you would leave Sacramento State, like the stud running back.
Cam Scottaboo did.
Scottaboo left Sacramento State, went to Arizona State. Now he's with the New York Giants. But Sacramento State actually came to Thibodaux and played Nickel State. So they're like, I still say 1AA, they're like McNeese, Northwestern, Southeastern, and all that. But Sacramento State is the capital, you know, California. But Sacramento State, they're moving up. They're moving up in the world. They want to play the likes of UCLA, USC, Stanford, Cal Berkeley, and all that. And they have the resources.
Do they have it?
Yeah, they're building a new stadium, a big old stadium and all that. And, you know, in Sacramento, you know, they got an NBA team, Sacramento Kings.
And man, they love their NBA basketball in Sacramento. They love it there.
And the program, there's so many people in California. You know, wherever. Now, you think this day and age you probably won't have a diamond in the rough. You should be able to find. But we look at Cam Ward. He had zero stars in Cam Ward. Because there's so many people in California, Texas, and Florida. There's always players. So Sacramento State, watch for them to come up. And they're the Sacramento State Hornets. If we see Mike to tell you with a Hornets hat, he's not just front running. Mike actually graduated from Sacramento State. Oh, he left the bay. Yeah, became an engineer. Mike, isn't that right? Am I right? Yeah, he graduated from Sacramento State.
And man, when you see there, these are computer people. People in the construction, engineer. I mean, they set all that up there. And so they got people there with money.
Big time money. Come from all over the world, too.
Yeah, it's just not California. It's all over the world. We'll be back to finish it up here on Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here on the Second Guess Show. Mike DeTillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino, beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. I want to thank everybody for coming and listening to the show here at the Silver Slipper. And Bob, before you know it, OTAs will be started.
Yep, in May.
It'll be summer training camp, season cranking up, all this. And man, football's right around the corner.
Yeah, the schedule always comes out. That's always a big deal. Who you playing and when you playing them. The middle of May, you got OTAs. The NFL is like, they don't
think
it's
May 14th. So you won't be with us that day.
I'm actually going to be in Istanbul, Turkey.
Man, what you going to do over there?
I'm international. I mean, but I'll come back and comment on the draft. But, yeah, there's a lot going on. The NFL is always relevant every month.
Bobby, end it for us tonight.
All right. Bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people.
Who that?
Go Saints.